One of the things I failed to mention this morning, that because Ty came this morning, I'm going to put him to work. Can you hand me my Bible? I meant to bring it. Yeah, he is. He's always carrying me. I also failed to mention, Ty and his family are going through some tough times. I didn't ask if I could share this. I'm hoping it's okay. Ty's wife is in Ohio. His father-in-law, has had some heart conditions, and they went to do a bypass, if I've got it right, and found out his carotid artery was blocked. So they couldn't do the bypass, so then they had to do the surgery to clear the carotid artery. They did that, and then this week they did the bypass, and he's doing stellar, from what Ty told me, so he is doing great, and he's batching it. So I think he was looking somewhere to commiserate this morning, and that's why he came to support me. But Ty, thank you for being here, and thank you for handing me this. Harry's been speaking on Colossians, and there was a verse in Colossians that called my attention to it when he first started, and I'm going to read the verse, and that's why I needed my Bible. But it was Colossians 1, and it was verse 26, and it was, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Now, King James says mystery. But if you read the NIV, it says secret. And that led me to thinking several weeks ago about this topic of secrets. And so that's where this message came from. So if you don't like this, it's Harry's fault for preaching out of Colossians. Because I do pay attention when he preaches, and I was listening, and this spoke to me, and I wanted to talk about this today in the service. Have any of you heard of SeaTac astronomy? Ty has. And I know why Ty has. So many of you know, Judy and I are movie buffs. And there is a great movie in 1992 called Sneakers. Great cast. Robert Redford, Dan Aykroyd, Ben Kingsley, Sidney Poitier, River Phoenix, and of course, James Earl Jones. Wish I had his voice. But James Earl Jones. And the storyline of the movie was that within government agencies within the United States, there are too many secrets. So one agency set out to build a device through advanced mathematics that would decrypt any encryption used. This is all fiction, by the way. And it's a fascinating film. But the whole point was, if you make something cryptographically strong, then by using advanced mathematics, it's easy to break. So I won't spoil the movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. If you don't believe people should see movies, just ignore my previous comments. But it parallels a lot of our efforts as individuals, in the sense that we have secrets, and we'll get into a little bit more about that later. Probably something that's more factual and more in point with what's going on is, in World War II, do you remember the Enigma machine? Some of you remember that. Some of you have read about the Enigma machine. If you work in the intelligence business, I guarantee you, you know a little bit about the Enigma machine. It was created shortly after World War I by a German engineer, Arthur Schirbius. And I'm sure I said that wrong. Lisa should probably pronounce it for me, but I apologize, Lisa, because I'm sure I'm not saying it right. But it consisted of a set of electromechanical rotor cipher machines, and the early versions were used commercially by companies to protect their intellectual property and their intellectual communications. In World War II, most of the machines, or a lot of the machines, were modernized and used by Germany going into World War II, so that they could have government communications that were considered unbreakable. In fact, there was a team of scientists spearheaded by Great Britain to build a machine, another computer, that would break this code. That effort, if you've never studied that, was the basis of another movie that came out several years ago called The Imitation Game, which again is another really good movie. But it talks about what it took to try to break that. While there's a lot of controversy over the truth, there is this conspiracy of data that's been declassified over this last decade that Winston Churchill was aware of the bombing of London in Coventry. Any of y'all heard about this? He was aware of the bombing of London in Coventry because Great Britain had broken the German encryption machine. And so they were reading the communications between the government and the troops. And while Churchill knew a massive bombing raid was coming against London and our Coventry, depending on which article you read, had he evacuated the city, Germany would have known that the Allies were reading all their communications. So Winston Churchill had a hard decision to make. And he did not evacuate. And he let London and Coventry be bombed. 600 citizens, I think it was, were killed in that raid. And it was a bombing raid that went on for over 4 to 5 hours. Because the bombers would come over and bomb, and then they would go back and to France, reload, and come back and bomb again. But because he kept that secret, people argue that we ended the war much sooner. Because as we knew what the adversaries were doing, we could plan better on our side, save more people, save more soldiers, cut off the logistics, ultimately leading to D-Day and ending the war much sooner. Now, I say that's conspiracy. There's a lot of that data that people still don't know for sure. But if we talk about secrets, that's probably one of the biggest secrets that's ever been declassified from the war at that time. We live in a world of make-believe. As children, we use the land of make-believe as an escape or to enrich our creative resources. We are taught about the art of the possible to give us motivation and create a foundation and a purpose. Entire companies, such as Disney, have built enormous corporations on the concept of make-believe. Now, don't mistake me. I'm a huge Disney fan. I'm not against Disney or any of those areas that Disney is involved in, and I don't believe Disney is evil. But make-believe must also be grounded with realism, with what is true, with what is factual. While make-believe will give you the creative juices to desire or to design an impossibility, reality is used to determine if the impossibility is even practical. Our world today blurs these lines. As adults, we are constantly bombarded through TV, radio, news, entertainment, the finances of the world, government, academia, of things that are really aren't true or factual, but are acceptable in society's eyes. Just because society deems things as acceptable doesn't mean they are acceptable in Christian eyes. Dare I point you to history and to consider when society accepted things that weren't Christianly acceptable? Roman Empire. If you were birthed a Roman, you were considered an elite class. They crucified those who chose different affiliations. They crucified those whose religion was considered superior to Roman law. They crucified Christians. Because Christians believed in Christ and God above Rome and above Nero. The Greeks. Greeks worshipped all kinds of gods. They worshipped each other. They had lust parties. They had same-sex couples. And society said it was okay. And it was acceptable. The Egyptians worshipped Ra, the sun god. They sacrificed to him children and animals. They believed they would be reincarnated to a higher level in society. Not unlike what is taught by Hinduism. The Soviet Union under Stalin. It was perfectly fine for the majority of the citizenry to get minimal food and work hard so that the upper class, the senior government leadership, lived like kings. They persecuted and killed those who did not agree with what society said was acceptable. Society teaches us a number of things, and they try to continually tell us things are acceptable. And if we just put our head down and walk our path and not pay attention to what's going on, we're condoning those actions. Are you hiding secrets? Have you accepted things because society says it is okay? There are major items in our society is pushing today. Where do you stand on these issues? Homosexuality. Abortion. Individual choice or association to sexual orientation. Sex education and sex at young ages, as long as contraceptives are made available by the establishment, is okay. Our schools are teaching those values. Political correctness. Rights of individuals based on wealth or position within society. Some people are allowed to do things, others are not. Different rules and standards for people that commit the same crime due to their position within society. Less stringent moral values. We are society racing towards Gomorrah, at least in my opinion, if I just look at what's going on. What everybody tells me is okay, what everybody tells me is acceptable. RB, just get over it. You're just a stiff-necked Southern Baptist. The world is different today than it was 2,000 years ago. Really? Is it any different? All of the things that I listed here happened 2,000 years ago. Read the Old Testament. Read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Read about there is nothing new. We think the sexual orientations, and I'm so glad that the children aren't here. I was going to change my sermon, Patty. I want you to know that. We think the things of sexual orientation, and I think I'm female, and I think I'm male, and I should be able to go in any restroom that I want to, and all these things. We think that's new. That is not new. That existed 2,000 years ago. And what are we doing as society today? Why all of a sudden are we focused on it and say, well, it's okay. You just don't understand. The world's evolved. Have we really evolved? Or have we regressed? I hope you know, I don't think I'm preaching to individuals that have problems. I think I'm preaching to the choir this morning, so I hope nobody goes out of here upset with me. Actually, if you are upset with me, that's good. It caused you to think. What secrets do you hide today? If something was wrong 2,000 years ago, isn't it still wrong today? Can't we still live by the standard Ten Commandments? Can't we still just follow that law? Why is it that our society says it's not politically correct to have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse? I'm not getting into politics. I'm just trying to understand. Why is that not acceptable today? Why have those values changed? Why has honoring your mother and father not been important to society? Why has thou shalt not commit a murder not important? Why has thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife not important? Why is society telling us, that's not important today? You don't understand. People need to express themselves. They're different today, RB. We need to allow them to express themselves. How many times did individuals in the Bible try to hide things from God? Cain? Didn't Cain try to hide the fact that he slew Abel? The selling of property and not giving the money to the church? How many times did anybody get away with it? I mean, just be honest. Anybody think anybody got away with it? You know, do you think you're getting away with it today? They eventually were found out, and it led to their undoing. What secrets do we hide today? Many of you are married. What things do you hide from your spouse? Do you hide them because you know they are wrong? Or do you hide them because you believe your spouse will think less of you. We all have secrets. Secrets we hide deep inside us, hoping no one ever finds out. I'm not talking about the simple things. Things like, I think blondes are prettier than brunettes. Or, you know, I think men with short, clean haircuts are better looking than men with ponytails. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those secrets that we don't even want our closest friend or spouse to know about. Now, some of you may be saying, RB, I don't have any secrets like that. I'm a book. You can read me cover to cover. Really? Did you ever do anything in your youth that you don't want people to know? Did you ever make a bad judgment call that today you don't want anyone to know about? Did you ever treat someone badly? Did you ever cheat on an exam? Did you ever help someone else cheat on an exam? Basically, if you were to run for president of the United States today, are there any secrets in your closet that you wouldn't want the opposition to find out about? Believe me, they will if you run for president. They tend to find everything out. And if they don't, they just make stuff up. Right? Won't get off onto that today. We as Christians are called to a higher standing. These secrets that we hide deep inside slowly eat away at us like an infection. Before we know it, we have done more things in secret, hoping no one will find out. This sickness is infecting our society and our way of life. No longer is it openly acceptable or politically correct to profess our Christian faith for fear that it might offend someone. Corporations have more and more employment rules that restrict our ability to inform those we work with that we are offended by their actions or their language because we are Christians. The use of foul language has entered all aspects of our lives. Children, and I mean children, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, children spew these words at each other openly in public places. Where does it stop? Are we secretly letting society decide what is acceptable behavior today? Are we standing by the sidelines watching, afraid to stand up and be counted? Growing up in high school, I had a band teacher that taught us a golden rule. He taught it to all his students. We would go to band competitions, and he would say, if you can't say anything nice about another band, don't say anything at all. Where has this type of practice gone and wisdom gone in our society today? As much as we believe that we can have secrets and no one will find out, it is not possible to hide them from God. Psalm 44:21. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Now my intent this morning was not to bring up bad memories of things we've done that we're ashamed of, or things that we've done that we don't want anyone to know about. The point this morning is that through the confession of our sins to God, we are cleansed. Confession is the antibiotic for the infection of secrets. 1 Corinthians 14:25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. God knows all things. All things. He knows our weaknesses. and our repeated offenses. He also knows when we strive to overcome, and He is always there to help and assist. Like the footprints in the sand, when there is only one set, those are the times He is carrying us. Too many secrets. There are too many secrets in our world today. And I'm not talking about the conspiracies within government. I'm talking about those things that we do that we know we shouldn't do. The difference between us as Christians and others is that we realize we shouldn't do them and we ask forgiveness. That's what makes us different than anybody else in our society. I pray today that each of us will reveal our secrets to God, that we may seek His forgiveness and that we may receive it from Him. He already knows, but it takes our action of enumerating them to Him that cleanses us from head to toe. As Peter said to our Master, "Wash not only my feet, but my whole body." Let us pray. Our Father, we all have secrets. None of us are exempt. And if we think we're exempt, then that in and of itself is a secret. For it is only through following You, Your teachings, Your Word, that these secrets get exposed. And that through exposing these secrets and the forgiveness that we receive from You, that we change our lifestyle. Father, may it not just be true for us at Covenant. Father, may it be true for the world. May we realize the secret lives that we live are not secrets at all. If we but turn and base our lives on You and our love for You, we can change the world. May we be that witness that You call us to be. For we ask these things in Your name. Amen.